friendship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 6, 2026. On today's edition of Mark and Friends, we're turning our attention to one of the most familiar and most challenging teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes. These are words many of us know by heart, yet they still have a way of reshaping how we think, live, and follow Christ. I'm joined by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield as we take a fresh look at what it truly means to be blessed in God's kingdom. Also joining us is the bear. What's the word beyond trifecta when you do like three things? Because he was on Tuesday and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. He's on today's edition, and he was at my pastor ministry leaders luncheon yesterday. So what's like four or five occurrences? I know trifecta is three.
A quadfecta?
Quadfecta, okay. Well, the bear is joining us today, so we appreciate his attendance, along with a room of friends. In fact, I think six or eight of you led out in prayer. And so, listening friend, I hope you'll feel prayed up and blessed by our conversation, because these Beatitudes, these are words of Jesus, will be instrumental as we learn from them and as we take to heart what God might be saying. So my prayer, our prayer, is that the Holy Spirit will use our conversation to fortify you today in your faith journey. So Mark, you shared with our group why you chose the Beatitudes in this portion of Scripture, but maybe help the listener know why this was on your heart.
The Sermon on the Mount is the longest discourse that we have recorded of Jesus speaking in one complete statement. And it's all about his kingdom. And we know this as the Sermon on the Mount. We've read it. We know the Beatitudes. But I'm telling you that in that day, there were some really shocking statements in here. And in fact, there are statements in here that we kind of glide past, or we put at a lighter emphasis than what they should be. And yet this is how the kingdom of God is supposed to be worked. So in this message, he's giving his main explanation of the kingdom of God. He's calling us out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of heaven and what the rules of the kingdom of heaven are like. So we've talked about this in previous broadcasts, but what is he talking about when he talks about a kingdom? How do we illustrate a kingdom so we understand? Anybody have a thought on that? I can give you a couple if you need me to.
Well, our understanding originates from, I guess, the old world, where there were kings and they ruled a particular area and everything in that area. At a high level, I think what God is talking about here is his kingdom is everything that he created technically. But I think what you're referring to, Mark, is everything within that universe that he's created that aligns with him in his truth and recognizes him as the king and ruler.
Dave, that's really good. Let me make it really simple. If you worked for the ABC company and you left the ABC company and you went to the XYZ company selling whatever they're selling, and you went to work for them, you would get a handbook. You would get an employee handbook. And that employee handbook would tell you about the rules and the function of that business. This is what you can expect. This is how often you'll get paid. Here are the benefits you're going to get. Here's how much time off you're going to get. Here's what happens if you act improperly towards other employees. Here's what happens if somebody acts improperly towards you. All the rules of that business would be given to you. And they may not be the same. You can't assume, oh, I've left ABC, I'm now with XYZ, they're probably the same rules. No, you might find yourself getting paid at a different rate, paid in a different way. All kinds of things may be different. They're two different kingdoms. We think about nation to nation. I remember years ago, a group of us went into Poland, and we went into Poland, it was still behind the Iron Curtain. And when we went in there, the leaders there talked to us about the things we could and couldn't talk about. You know, they didn't want us to talk about political things in any way. Reagan was a president at the time. Somebody in one of the meetings asked me about Reagan, and I gave a couple of comments on it, and somebody spoke up and said, we shouldn't be talking about this. We shouldn't be talking about it. We should leave this alone. They knew they to stay out of trouble, there's a different set of rules. We come into America, we have this freedom of speech, and we can talk any way we want to. You try that in Saudi Arabia, you try that in Iran, you're going to get a completely different response. They're different kingdoms. So Jesus is teaching on his kingdom, and he's calling us out of the kingdom of the world into his kingdom. He's showing us how things work in his kingdom. And he starts off with the Beatitudes.
And I'm going to share a little perspective from those that are reading this first verse in chapter 5. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside. And I've been to Israel many, many times. And so they speculate, it could have been here, it could have been here. But people will say, how could all those thousands of people hear him? Well, as the Sea of Galilee is kind of in the background, and on the mountainside, the mountain kind of creates the acoustic. So his voice could travel to many different people at the same time. Some will say some would hear it and then they'd pass it on up the hill. But regardless, many in the crowd, because of the acoustics and the situation, a grassy kind of mountainside, he was able to speak and many people could hear him share these very words.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah. So he starts with 8 Beatitudes. Each statement begins with blessed are. And what he's doing in the Beatitudes is he's defining for us our relationship with God. Now, what does blessed mean?
Happy.
Happy. It means happy. Blessed, in this case, it means favored of God. It's the pathway to blissfulness. It's the pathway to a happy life. How do we become a people who have a contentment of our heart, a joy in our heart, a fulfillment in our heart? Well, how does the world go about getting those things?
Well, you know, I was thinking when we look at these, all these characteristics that he talks about, these people who are blessed, back then, and probably today as well, these are not the kind of characteristics that most people would think you need to get ahead.
No, this is a different kingdom.
Yeah, it's totally different values.
Yeah, it's a different kingdom. So one of the ways that he's put this is this is, blessed is the favored of God. So think about it this way. How to become one of God's favorites? How do we become a people who have the presence of God moving in our life? So what do people do today to try to find the blissful life, the happy life? What kind of things do they seek
after? Searching for love in all the wrong places.
Searching for love in all the wrong places is exactly right. That's one way.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They look for it. And what happens?
Never ends well.
It never ends well.
Empty feelings.
Empty feelings. Yeah. So each of these statements, Jesus is saying to them, if you want the favor of God, you want the blessing of God, this is the pathway. So he says, blessed are those who are poor of spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And next week we'll talk a little bit about what poor of spirit means. But we're talking about this pathway to the presence of God in our life. So you think about the word love in the Bible. When we read the word love, we read one word, love. When you read the Bible and you read the word love, we see the same thing. One word, love, but it has different meanings in different places in the Bible. It comes from different words in different places in the Bible. Now, fortunately, we can usually understand which love it is if we just read the context of the statement. Typically, we don't have to have some Hebrew degree or Greek degree or something like that to be able to figure out which love it is. Blessed or blessed can come to us in the same kind of sense. Blessed is used in different ways throughout Scripture. In this way, in particular, it's talking about the favor of God that brings His presence into our life and His fulfillment into our life. So, He's talking about a pathway for us, a kingdom. So the word itself means blissful, it means happy. In fact, some theologians, when they write about this scripture, they change it to happy is the one. They actually change it to that word because he's talking about this pathway to a life of happiness. So today, I'm concerned about people who may be listening. You may be listening to us today, and your heart may be broken. You may be going through something devastating in life. You may be lonely. You may be uncertain about life. The circumstances you sought after that you thought were going to bring fulfillment into your life, happiness into your life, joy into your life, haven't done it. What is the true pathway to happiness? That's the Beatitudes.
Yeah, and I'm thinking you have to have and carry an eternal perspective, because there's many paradoxes here, like, blessed are the poor in spirit, and you're like, huh? Blessed are those who mourn, huh? Blessed are those who are meek. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's like, wait a minute. But if you have that eternal perspective and you recognize and understand that God loves you, then you really have to dig into the truer meaning on what's being conveyed here.
Mark, you think about what Paul says to us in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, he says to the Christian there, and he's talking about when someone in their life dies, he says, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. We mourn differently. We mourn with the living hope of God. Now listen, hope is not just something of the mind. Love is not just something of the mind. The joy of God is not just something of the mind. These are all spirit issues where the spirit lives in us and the awareness of the spirit in us. So he's raising their knowledge that, hey, don't look at this the way the world looks at it. What do we call somebody who says they're a Christian and lives like the world?
Hypocrite.
A hypocrite. Now, some people do that out of ignorance. They don't know how the kingdom of God acts, and they're just ignorantly falling back on what they've always done. But the Bible warns us that people who do that discredit the kingdom of God. They discredit the hope of God. One of the most awesome things I have seen as a pastor is people going through great loss. A loved one has died. Something has happened in their life. And yet you talk to some people and they are devastated, hopeless, broken, life is ruined, everything is over. And you talk to another group of people and they love the loved one that's gone. They're broken. They're grieving over the one who's gone. They're heartbroken over the whole situation. But there's a foundation of God has something for me today. God has a purpose for me today. There's a reason for me to go forward today. Now, that doesn't happen just because I know that. So we go to the graveside of people and we walk down there and we're trying to say something to their family. Does any of it mean much? How much can you say to somebody who's lost their husband or their wife? What do you say to somebody who's lost somebody close to them? There's not much that you can say other than, I'm praying for you. I'm seeking God for you. We're with you. If we can do anything to help you, we're here to make your load lighter. But it's whether the living presence of God is in them, whether they're going to have hope through that situation and rise above it.
I've shared this many times over the last year or so, but it's practicing the ministry of presence. Show up, but shut up. Oftentimes we don't have the words, so don't try to make words happen. Just be a listening, caring person. But something else you shared, Pastor Mark, for somebody that may be seemingly being a hypocrite, it could be because they're so early on their journey, that sanctification process, they just haven't come to the realization. Their learning curve is like, oh, I have to give up some of these habits, or I can't really view this or do that or participate in that. So they haven't yet maybe fully understand the measure of God's love for them, or they're readjusting, or they're breaking bad habits. So it is a process,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, they just don't know. Yeah. I mean, many times I talk to, sometimes with a group of people, there'll be a new Christian there, and they'll say something, and everybody will kind of, the heads will kind of turn towards them, you know, like, what did you just say? How did you just say that? And I'm going to say, it's okay, you know, this is a brand new baby Christian.
Yeah.
Listen, babies cry. Babies grab things they're not supposed to grab. Babies do things they're not supposed to do. You've got to be there to help them. And a brand new Christian is that way. We're there to help them. We're patient and we're loving and we understand. And then we look for the opportunity to say, you know, we could have said that better.
It's also difficult for people in this culture to grab the teachings of Jesus because it's countercultural. Everything there, as Mark just read all the Beatitudes, blessed are X, Y, Z. That doesn't sound right. When everything is built around the economy, the society, and the distractions out there, where you have to be successful, rich, always doing stuff, and always being on some kind of social media.
Bernie, if I take the pathway to joy meaning, I've got to get more money.
Right.
I've got to have better vacations. I've got to be able to buy my kids everything they want. I've got to be able to live in a bigger home. I've got to be able to be powerful at work. That's going to come to a crashing halt someday.
Right.
That's going to come up empty someday. It's not going to be able to pay the bills of my emotions someday. Jesus is laying out for us, no, don't get caught in the temporal, be caught in the eternal. What we need, what our heart needs, what our soul needs, is the presence of God living in it, built on the promises of God.
Right.
So when I go to my loved one's grave, I'm not saying goodbye, I'm saying see you later.
Right.
That's what I'm
Amen.
Saying.
Amen.
Now, the sad thing is, we live in a culture today, Bernie, that almost everybody thinks my loved one's going to a better place.
Right.
They could have been a scoundrel. They could have been a thief. They could have been just a terrible person in many, many ways. But, you know, we all go to a better place.
Right.
But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says something different. And so we recognize our need for God and we come to Him. And that He begins to bring us into His kingdom. Jesus bringing us into how His kingdom works. And His kingdom doesn't work on temporal things. His kingdom works on the fullness of the kingdom of God in our life that brings fulfillment and purpose even through the troubles of this world.
And Mark, maybe for the listener unfamiliar with the character of God and how good and true and trusting and full of grace and mercy, yes, He's just, but He extends love to all of us. I think people oftentimes have a mischaracterization or don't understand who Father God is. So maybe paint that picture of who God really is in His true character.
You know, it's really a difficult thing to picture because we're so flawed. He is perfect in every way. He is almighty. He is holy. And that idea of holiness, that we have gone against Him. We owe a debt to Him. So you look in Matthew 18, and you have Jesus telling the story of this guy who has a great, great debt to the king. And he comes in, he can't pay it, no way he can ever pay it, it's never going to get paid. And he pleads with the king for mercy. The king can throw him in jail, he can throw him in Potter's prison, he can do whatever he wants to with him, with his whole family, and he pleads for mercy. The king gives it to him. Now he goes out of that, and he doesn't live in the kingdom of that king. He functions in his own kingdom. He goes to somebody who owes him just a little bit, and he won't forgive that guy of his debt. He's just been forgiven of this huge debt, but he won't forgive the next guy. And what we find is at the end of the story, the king is angry at the first guy and throws him in prison. And Jesus then says, this is the kingdom of God. This is the way things are going to work with you if you don't forgive others as God has forgiven you. It's a picture that we are indebted to God in a way that's hard for us to imagine. You know, I want to think, I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe them anything. But we owe a lot of people a lot of things. But we owe God our life. We owe God everything. We breathe because of Him. We eat because of Him. Everything we do is a gift from Him. The hope of heaven is a gift from Him. We owe Him everything, and we've sinned against Him.
That's very true, but I also think how we can see God through Jesus, and what did He do on our behalf? He died for our sins. He extended love. He extended grace. He's in the business of that reconciliation, repairing our relationship with God, but we know God demonstrated His great love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God did all the work and extended that grace and mercy that we can't even fathom. So I was thinking, with the character of God, if people understood the true nature of God and how good He is and loving, they would be drawn to Him. But some fear Him for various reasons, because He is holy and just. But I think if they truly understand the character of God and sense that great love through what Jesus did, they would be drawn to Him.
You know, Mark, what you said there is absolutely true. It's all absolutely true. the problem that we have in America today is we have focused on that so much that people don't feel like they have to repent of anything. And they go right on, oh, I'm okay. They're living with their boyfriend. They're living with their girlfriend. They're getting drunk every night. They're going around doing all sorts of things that the Bible clearly says, those who do this do not inherit the kingdom of God. And they think that God is a pushover. God's easy. No, God is so, he's so holy that he had to send his son to pay the price for our sin so that a perfect one would die for us, so that he paid for us so that we could have a chance to go to heaven. He did not compromise an ounce.
And when Mark quoted Romans there, talking about how while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, when I'm explaining that verse to people, I instead say, while we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us, because that is what our sins are. Living in the world is being an enemy of God. And while we were in that state, incapable of even trying to not be God's enemies, God did all the work for us.
Mark, I know our time's about up here, and what I want to just kind of wrap this up with is, as we look at the Beatitudes over the next couple of weeks, what we're looking at is Jesus saying to us, hey, guys, wake up. The way you're trying to get happiness now isn't the way to it. The way your soul is going to be satisfied, the way your spirit is going to be fulfilled, is through a right relationship with God. Let me tell you how to get there. Let me tell you how to get there. When you get there, then the circumstances of your life become less important because the fullness of God's Spirit is living in you. Doesn't mean that things don't hurt us on this earth. We're not in heaven yet. But the fullness of God helps us through all of those things.
Listening friend, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he's painted a way for us to have a relationship with God and to spend eternity with him. If you have questions and maybe we stirred something in your heart, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. They're trained counselors. They'll pray with you. They'll answer your questions. They'll do their best to show how to have a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Bible can be counted on, and how it's inspired. It's God's living word. And any questions you might have, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.